just want to say about Noah. Scripture said, and all prophecy must be fulfilled. So they all is laid out in time for us.
Yeah.
If we might see down through time all that happened to the Israelite people is for our admonition.
Yeah.
We look at a little this morning, 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, talking about the prophecy also. It's amazing how the Lord fit every piece of it together all through the ages. It gets down to this one thing that I'm reminded of quite often, and he said, in all Israel shall be saved. So we have an example of Israel over and over as they were an integral part of all things that God has done. And all Israel shall be saved. That's a marvelous thing that it started out with Israel, it's going to end with Israel, even though all the twists and turns in the whole thing, the revelation of it, is still a great mystery, even as we know as much as we do. God is mysterious. Read a few verses here, and he said it again. Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. So don't put your stock in being the children of Abraham. That's not where you were. You're not of that family. You have proven yourself not to be of that family.
Yeah.
If you're not of Israel. And then as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitieth thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. And certainly here he's talking about Israel. They got off to a pretty rough start. Went off down into Egypt. They were held hostage, enslaved, caused them to work. They were not swaddled at all. The biggest burden was put on them. And we would, if we didn't know better, if we didn't have the word, we'd think that they surely had perished down there in Egypt. But through all the twists and the turns and everything else, God multiplied them when it was seen that they were dead. That's what he's talking about here. They were absolutely just dead. Had the Lord left them alone and hadn't cut the navel cord and swaddled them and washed them and salted them, they would have been dead. No hope. So we go back, same thing, and all Israel shall be saved. So the Lord is not going to leave them there. not his people.
No.
Also keeping in mind that all of them that were of Israel were Israel either.
Right.
Like all the USA, they're claimed to be Christian.
Yeah.
For the biggest part, and yet they're not. They're far from it. They look a little like these people. And we can make reference to them always as being like them. Because that is human nature. That's the way we are. Ever since the garden. Ever since that day that we were kicked out. We've been rebellious from the very beginning. On down. In Exodus, the first chapter, we see a little bit of their life. Now, I don't know where to start here exactly, but verse 16, I guess, and he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrews, that was king, to the Hebrew women and see them up on the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children, the life. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children, and life? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are alive and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. Now, here's again, we got a situation where the old king's going to get rid of. They're not going to multiply. They're not going to get to such a condition that they could overcome him and his army.
Follow him.
Yeah. And he said, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that they made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And we could have read much more here how they were oppressed and under bondage in terrible condition, making bricks to build Egypt.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were doing quite well in Egypt with the power of the Israelite people. And it looked like Israel was not going to go any further. Wasn't going to kill all the male children.
Yeah.
Throw them out. They would not be swallowed. Throw them out. Let them die. Kill them all.
Yeah.
How much more oppressed can man be than this? And it would seem that all of God's doings have been put aside. And yet they multiply. He went down into Egypt. Just a little handful of people. And I read where they come out, about 800,000 of them. Isn't that something?
Okay.
It's the old king trying to get rid of them. And all underneath, they were prospering all the time. But that's the way it is with God. They cannot set aside the promise.
Right.
It must be fulfilled. He made a covenant with Abraham, and he is going to see it to the bitter end.
Right.
That's going to be it. Back back in Ezekiel, verse 6, and it said, and when I passed by thee, sound like the Lord was traveling through there and looked, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now it's kind of like a command. Live. And what they do, they multiply.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. In their blood. In their death. They multiply. And that's the way it is with the house of the Lord. They continue to multiply. Even in death, they continue to multiply. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud in the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. By thy breast are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yeah, I swear unto thee, entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. And he's taken them unto himself. What I think of here is that he first loved us. You know, in this condition that they were in their blood,
right,
he said, live. And certainly life was spread upon them, which is always the case with God's people.
Right.
You see, it's an adoption.
Yeah.
So the Lord takes in his people and he says, and live. We live among the graves today. And yet we live.
Yeah.
It couldn't be much more treacherous than it is in our day. We could have one more action. The king could say, we'll kill all male children. But I think it's having the same effect without him telling that we've got to do it. But it was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. It's in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Verse 9, he said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land and in the waste howling wilderness, and he led him about. He said, live. And he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And as the eagle stirreth up her nest, flourisheth over her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, Israel. And there was no strange God with him, he said, and lived. And he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and made him to suck honey out of the rock. But what a something new.
Yeah.
In all out of the flinty rock, even hollow rock, he got all of butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, and the fat of kids of the wheat, and thou didst dead strength with pure blood of the grave. Can't get much better than that. Can the Lord multiply the people? Sometimes we kind of fret in ourselves now. We see so few people that really attempt to worship the Lord anymore. We kind of fret ourselves.
Yeah.
But even so, the Lord has saved 7,000 unto himself.
Yeah.
As he did in Israel of old, he's doing in Israel of our day.
Yeah.
Israel hadn't stopped. It hadn't finished. No. This old world, the one is out of it, but the heavenly one is at work.
Right.
Building the house. Back in Ezekiel 16 again, he said, being washed by thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with fair skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. What does that sound like? The tent. The first. The tent. Mm-hmm. That, this is a description of the building of it. The tabernacle. This is a place where the Lord's people would come in and be clothed and be washed and be supped and be taught the spiritual things. Then he goes on, he said, I deck thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. And thou didst eat the fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God.
Yeah.
So it looked like everything was perfect, didn't it? Most beautiful creature the Lord had taken and showed it love.
Yeah.
Washed it, cleaned it up, took it to himself. And you'd think they would be eager to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Not so. It goes on, he said, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and placed a harlot because of thy renown and poorest out thy fornication on everyone that passed by. Yes, it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and bedeck thy high places. For it took all this good stuff that the Lord had given to them.
Yeah.
And they built a bigger church house. Up in the tree.
Yeah.
Out in the park. Up on the mountain. Thy high places with divers colors in this, thou playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels and gold and thy silver, which I have given thee, and makest to thyself images of men, and didst commit over with them, and took his thy broidered garments and covered them, and thou hast set mine all and mine incense before them. Their sweet savor they had sent up, this dead idols. Well, we're not much different today. That's the same situation. Every time the Lord let Israel get back, they kissed.
Yeah.
That's the same way it is today. In our country, we've gotten fat. I've told it before, I've gone down there, I tell Betty, I say, look around here at all these Mercedes running around here. Yeah. These folks are really living down here.
Mm-hmm.
They got it. And yet, they're living and dying in their beauty. And in the beauty of things. And they offer it up unto devils rather than unto the Lord. It's quite obvious that church houses are full of folks today, but they don't have the truth with them.
Amen.
That they offer it up unto idols. And their worship is something that they have created. It's of their mind, their imagination. And they don't understand, seem like this people don't understand. The Lord has given it. What do you have that the Lord didn't give
you? Right.
So why would you hold up your head in pride and say, I have done it. I have made it. I've got it made. Now we're really living.
Yeah.
It wasn't what the Lord meant though when he said, and live.
No.
What he meant was live in true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in yourself. Yeah, what do you have that you didn't receive? Why are you so puffed up? Because it all was of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, 23rd chapter, verse 27, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. They wasn't washed. They're not washed. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Church houses are full of them folks.
Yeah.
But within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, your witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets.
Yeah.
Your own witness. And not only that, it's in your heart.
Mm.
Because the law is written upon the hearts of men. They know it.
Yes.
That's the reason that these old churches are so full of people. They understand their time is short.
Yeah.
And they need to try to get out and do something about it. Because they don't have a Lord such as we. Israel was amazing in two different perspectives. Amazing first because that God did call Abraham out of the Chaldees and made of him a great nation and made of him nations, both. But it's always amazing how that indeed God dealt with them for how many years? 1,400?
Yeah.
Over 1,400 years up to the time of Christ. And still, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And he is not a Jew who is one by circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is circumcision of the heart. So, but it's all according to the will and the purpose of God to glorify his name. So it is that some are called unto mercy and some are called unto wrath. We ought to be thankful, and Jesse says about being prideful. What have you got to boast of? Except at the cross of Christ.
Right.